This is a recording of the Sunday morning last meeting in the convention with Jackie A. as short speaker, taped at the first California Mid-State Regional Convention for NA in Fresno, California on Sunday, July 1st, 1990. In observance with the 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
I get 30 seconds to tell you all what a great time I've had at this convention. What an honor it's been to be here. So sitting up at the podium, I have two sisters and a daughter. I have a son with almost 4 years. Which is really quite unique because he's almost 4 years old. That's why he's got almost 4 years. His sister didn't get 4 years clean. You know, I was such a lonely, miserable junkie that I got my daughter loaded to keep me company. So she didn't get 4 years when she was 4 years. This has been a real gathering and a real experience. And it's been really unique not to be part of hardly anything. Just be like an observer and occasional just be of service in the smallest possible way. And that's kind of different because I've always wanted to be like doing something, you know. And what I've been doing at this convention is just doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, taking a little bit of direction, giving a lot of direction. And and having to make amends. So I'm going to announce one little thing first before I announce our short speaker, and that there's a girl somewhere from San Diego and needs a ride home. There she is right over there with the orange and black. So if anybody going towards San Diego, one more little person needs to ride. Also, before I introduce Jackie, I'd like to introduce Dana, our registration subcommittee chairperson, with his report on this convention.
Hi, Dana, I'm an addict. Before I start with the registration count, there was a checkbook found in this room last night, and it's at the front desk. So if you're missing your checkbook, it's at the front desk at the hotel. The total registration count, registration sold for this convention is 890. Breakfast is sold and dinner is sold will be out in a formal report like at the end of this month. And it's just like been a real spiritual experience for me, and on behalf of the committee, we'd like to thank you for letting us be of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, readers. Sisters. Now I'd like to introduce our short speaker, Jackie A. from Fresno. And our chairperson.
Little mini conference up there. My name is Jackie, and I am an addict. I like it up here. Oh, you tried to. What do you fucking mean by that? You like the banner? We got a guy down here that did that. Jim wants to stand up for a minute. He may never get it again. You know what I mean? Did I say I was an addict already? Okay. Well, then it's foregone that I'm kind of moderately brain damaged, right? So there's probably not going to be any kind of, you know, logical sequence to, like, anything I'm going to say, and I'm just going to, you know, like, ask God to come into my chest, you know, and, like, try to give, you know, something that's in there to anybody, mainly me, maybe, you know, so that something's going to get transformed around here, you know, maybe me, maybe you, I don't know. You know, what I've been experiencing for the last few months is incredible, you know. I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about learning how to live and, you know, work with other people and just learning how to live. You know, I came to this program that was a little more than a rumor about 13 years ago, and there wasn't a whole lot of it around here in Fresno, and, you know, it's sort of a spiritual experience sometimes, you know, when I walk into a meeting, you know, just a regular meeting in here, around here, and, like, realize that there's nights when there's, like, 50 and 60 and 70 addicts in a meeting room on a regular, like, Tuesday night or something. And because there was a time when I used to go down to community hospital, which is in the center of town, and, like, hope that somebody would show up. And that was about 10 years ago. And, but see, I knew I had to show up, because without Narcotics Anonymous, there was, like, no hope for me to stay clean. And I was the kind of dope fiend that by the time I got here had totally alienated my blood family and had, like, had not had any real contact with them face-to-face over the phone in any way for at least 7 years. I'd been, like, totally cut loose by my father the first time I got arrested for my first heroin arrest when I was 18 years old. I was living 9,000 miles away from anybody that resembled family. And I had, like, no special job training, and the only thing I really knew how to do was, like, lie, cheat, and steal, and, you know, take yours and mine and everybody else's, and, you know, and I had this habit of, like, transiting places, you know, because I'd fuck everything up in one place, and I'd have to go someplace else so I could fuck up that place, so I could go to the next place to fuck that up, and, like, I wasn't even really sure by the time I got here what you were supposed to do with, like, a toothbrush and, like, you know, like, how to organize, like, a day of, like, taking care of myself and, like, the things at hand for me to do. And, you know, I needed a lot of help. and God gave me, like, what I needed. And what happened was that I came into a program, you know, essentially with, for me, you know, there was a couple of people around who were of the other fellowship who were, you know, claiming to be recovering from drug addiction also, and they became willing to share their living space with me, and they gave me direction on a daily basis, and I needed it, and, like, they thought I could handle it when I had about 2 months clean, like, living on my own, and it didn't work out, and I kind of went in and out, and every time I went out, it was, like, with a spike in my arm, and there was, like, no thought about, like, maybe I shouldn't do that, or maybe I should call my sponsor, and I didn't whine about it, and I didn't talk about it, I just went and did it, and then the next thing I knew, I'd be coming to in this other program's meeting, like, you know, like, couldn't figure out, like, why was, like, what had happened, and I did that probably about 4 or 5 times in about 8 months, and, like, I didn't think I was getting it right. And I ended up, like, committing myself to a voluntary treatment program up in Oregon, and it was, like, the last-ditch multiple offender kind of people who had to claim guilty to their crimes and take the maximum sentence in lieu of not finishing the program right. And I lasted there for about 3 months, which is, like, the longest I'd ever been clean, and they kicked me out because they said I wasn't being honest with them, and I didn't know what they meant, but I was clean. And I was sitting in the Portland bus station with this one-way ticket they had given me to anywhere I wanted to go, and I had chosen Reno, because I knew I could always be a change girl and get drunk for free. And, like, that was the best I could imagine for myself, you know, without some kind of major change that I couldn't even imagine. And I had a 4-hour wait for that bus, and they had my dog and had run away, and my kid was in treatment, my ex-husband was in treatment, my car was in treatment with the wheels off on blocks. And I had these 2 cardboard boxes with a string wrapped around it, and, like, all the regulars were coming in on, a Wednesday night, and, like, I had been, like, so disconnected from, like, all kinds of sensorium that, you know, I mean, it was like I had, like, no TV, no magazines, no social conversation, like, no comic books, like, nothing, you know, except for, like, some of the books in the other place, and I'm sitting in this Portland bus station, and I'm waiting for this bus to Reno, you know, that's going to take me to hell, where I've already been, and I'm watching these regulars come in this place, and I'm going through this, like, emotional crescendo stuff, you know, like, going from, like, you know, how absurd, you know, God must really have a hell of a sense of humor, to, like, being real sorry for myself and, like, doing this real labile kind of thing. And there was this moment, you know, where this thing came in my head and said, you know what, there aren't any arbitrators. the treatment of that, you know, the director of that treatment program, my father, all the judges, all the probation officers, all the psychiatrists, you know, all the other people in my life that stood in line with their finger pointed at me with the airstreams going off the back, you know, their heads, you know, telling me what a piece of shit I was, you know, and how I was going to die fucked up. You know, like they couldn't arbitrate this thing, you know, and it was like between me and God. And if I wanted to be clean and sober, that was on me and him. And I made my decision. I mean, I haven't had to take anything. It's been over 12 and a half years, you know. And what's happened between here and there is a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff. And what I, you know, wanted to talk about a little bit is the principles of the program that are embodied in the steps. And, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, I tried a bunch of other shit before I got here. And that, you know, that I probably, you know, it says in the founding literature that deep in the heart of every man, woman, and child is the basic concept, which is God, you know. And that means that these principles are like innate to us, you know, that they are very deep within us, you know. And that, you know, for me, I was one of those people that, like, there would be those moments when I'd be so, like, incomprehensibly demoralized and, you know, desperate that those things would almost emerge in me, you know. But, like, I had never seen them written anywhere. I never heard anybody talking about them. But there was, like, this leaning in me, you know, to, like, to express those things. And, you know, several times before I actually made it to the place where I was able to see these things written in black and white, you know, I would get these urges to, like, you know, like, run back home and, like, tell my father the whole truth about me, you know, and, like, make my amends. I didn't know that that was the word, you know, and I'd have that feeling, and I would go back, and I would throw my shit down in front of him, and it would freak him out. And I'd go get fucked up, you know. And, you know, and so what I'm trying to say is that I believe that the principles that are embodied in this program are also embodied in us, you know, and that, like, there was always that leaning for those things, and in some way, you know, like, I was always on a spiritual quest, you know, and maybe I didn't have the language, and maybe I didn't know exactly where to go to find it, you know, so when I got here, I recognized it, and I wanted it, and I wanted it more than anything, and on a daily basis for the last 12 and a half years, I've chosen this over the other things, and, what has happened to me is that in spite of my fear and self-loathing and my self-centeredness and like I'm not good enough and all that kind of shit, when it gets right down to it, I've become willing to let go of those ideas of myself and like do the next indicated thing. And like God has led me into a life that is like, I'm getting a chill. So I came in here, the sleazy dopey, you know, that didn't know what to do with a toothbrush and, like, no family and, like, no money and no visible means of support and no education and, like, nothing. And my pockets were empty. Real early in my recovery, I met this little guy that had, like, no neck and was kind of ugly and didn't have a lot of glamorous things about his life. And he was the most attractive man in the world to me. And he had conceived two children that were, like, desperately ill with terminal illnesses in his early recovery. And I love this guy, you know what I mean? And when I was lucky, I'd get to see him two or three times a year, you know, and he kept passing these things on to me, you know, like these books and these just these little things that he would say to me, you know. And he was my hero. And he died last year clean and sober, you know. He had over 27 years in this program. And, you know, that guy was like a living book to me, And the thing that he said to me all the time was, you know, if anything's wrong, what you need is more God in your life. And the way you get more God in your life is you ask him to come into you. And, like, that's what I do. You know, I was a person that got pregnant in the last couple years of my recovery. And I was, like, so strung out that I didn't know that I was pregnant until I was past midterm. And I finally, in my fear, threw myself on these people in an institution, and they made a space for me to, like, be detoxed and to have isolation from the streets, and they nurtured me, and they let me go down into this intensive care nursery and hold and bottle feed these babies because they thought my son would end up there, and they were preparing me for that. And there was a moment, you know, when I was still pregnant, and I was holding these little babies in my lap, and I was like looking around me at what these women were doing, and I thought, you know what, if I ever got clean, I'd like to do what they're doing. But I didn't imagine that I'd ever get to do it. And what is happening is, like, my son is 14 and a half years old, and I'm the charge nurse at the neonatal intensive care unit at the county hospital here in Fresno.
And I'm only saying these things because it's the truth. Because it's not about, like, I'm so fucking wonderful. It's about the power of God. You know what I mean? I was on welfare, and I had done frauds between unemployment and welfare between two states, and I, like, the only thing I knew how to do was deal blackjack because I could count numbers real fast, and I was good with my hands, you know. I'm still doing it. but it's an amazing thing to be able to, like, take the energy and the creativity and the talent that God has given us, you know, and, like, to become, like, have enough faith to, like, be able to willing to express those things and extend ourselves beyond our ideas about ourselves, myself, you know. What happened was that, you know, I was sort of like a ho-hum student, and, like, all my family had been educators and writers and stuff like that, and in my rebellion, you know, like, I had, like, run away from home and all that kind of stuff, and like, by the grace of God, you know, like, I was able to, like, go to college, and I graduated with high honors, you know, and, like, that was a miracle. It took me 4.5 years to complete a 2-year program, you know what I mean? But it happened, and my father flew out here and, like, watched me graduate, you know. And he's an educator, you know what I mean? So it was like, he had, you know, he knew. And, like, the last time I saw my father when I was using, he dragged me out of a bar in upstate New York, and he gave me a 1-way bus ticket out of town and asked me never to come home. And it took me 12 years to see him face to face again, and he tried to pour me some champagne, you know. And, like, that's a miracle that I had changed that much, you know, that he could feel like I could do that, you know. And, like, the miracle was that I said no thank you, and I didn't even think about it until later, because it wasn't his responsibility to keep me clean and sober, it was mine. He didn't nearly die of it, I nearly did. And last year, you know, he gave me half the money to fly to Europe and spend 20 days with him, just him and me. And, like, you know, on the south coast of France, you know, in the sun, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm just saying these things because it's, like, what's possible here. I mean, maybe not everybody gets to do those. Maybe you don't even want to do those, you know what I'm saying? But if you stay clean and sober and you see to it that your relationship with him is right, you know, great events are going to come to pass for you and countless others. Thank you very much.
A real deal for me is being in this fellowship of in Fresno and like just being in her dust. I got, you know, watching her go through the school and being around, and when Dad came to town and all the different changes that have happened have been like, it's happened to me too, you know. And before I came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, all I wanted to do, all I really wanted to have was, like, family. I wanted to care about another human being that cared about me. And after I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I met Jackie, and I felt that, you know, and I'm real grateful to you for that. Okay, I guess during this part of the program, on each table there was a little blank piece of paper, and you were to put someone's name on it from the table. They're all in this little bowl. I'm going to pick the first one. You get to come up to the podium and talk for 5 minutes. And the winner is Flossie H. thank you. First, and when you get through talking, you get to pick the next one. Okay? Yep, 5 minutes. And the first one is William M. from Sonora.
My name is William, and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank our trusted servants of the committee. You know, this has really been a great weekend for me. You know, I've made quite a few conferences, and I started coming around this program in 84, and in May I celebrated 2 years. You know, so if you're one of those that have to go back out and see what it's like, I know that you're always welcome back. The second time I got clean was here in Fresno, out at the Ark. And I hung around for a year. And I wound up in Reno, like Jackie, and I had a problem with the tables, and I chose to go back out again. And, you know, this time my program is based on the spirituality and the unity. You know, because I need you people to stay here. I need to know that what I feel in my heart about other people is in this program. And I find that through each and every one of you. I've met some really beautiful people here. You know, in trying times and hard times, when people are, you know, you can have someone that you disagree with, but when it gets hard, man, they're there. You know, and that's what I found here. No matter how bad it gets, there's always someone in this program here. And I've been in a lot of different places and tried a lot of different things before I got here. And it's never been anything like this. You know, you're allowed to be who you are. You know, like right now I can be scared because I'm scared. You know, I used to go to conventions and say I'd like to do that. Well, now I know that I really don't want to do this anymore. You know, I've heard some things this weekend that I needed to hear, because the last couple of weeks I've, some people call it having your head up your ass, or, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I watched the play yesterday, and the thing on complacency came up, and the definition of complacency fit me. And, you know, that was something I needed to take a look at. But being a little bit of an open-minded person and willing to work on me, I was able to see that. You know, today I don't have to blame my wife or anybody in our area for what's going on with me. You know, and that's what I like about this program. You know, I don't have to point the finger at anybody but me. Even though I want to a lot of the times, I still know it comes back to me. But, you know, one thing I'd like to do is really thank my higher power as I understand him today. You know, because through him, he's worked through you to help me. Because where I came from, I don't want to ever have to go back there again. You know, all of us have been there, you know, and we all know what it's like. So, you know, I'd like to thank each and every one of you. And I doubt I'll take up 5 minutes of your time. You know, because really at a time like this, it's easier for me to keep it simple and say I love you and thanks for being here for me. And I'm going to let you know. Linda B.
I was just sitting there thinking, I'm just going to come up because I can't stand this. It's like a hit list, and when they were drawing the name, you know, I was getting all scared. I said, I'm just going to go up, you know, and then thanks God you get what you pray for. You know, my name's Linda. I'm an addict. Thanks, you know. You know, listening to, I hate this. You know, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. The emotions, you know, I just, this convention is great. You know, a friend and I from Hanford, we came up with low expectations, you know, of what Fresno could do, you know, and... You know, and I mean, and that's true, you know, because, you know, they haven't, and it's wonderful. This was wonderful. This was just, you know, it's like all these little spiritual awakenings for me, you know, and I find out that I'm not a spiritual giant, you know. And I find out, you know, in conventions like this, because there's so much spirituality, you know, that I'm grateful today for having feelings, you know, something that I tried all my life not to have. You know, and I come to a convention like this, and I'm glad. I'm glad that I can hear stories from where people were, and I can feel for them, and I can be grateful that I didn't have to be there, and I can look at all you people, you know, and I can be grateful for where I am today, and that there is a fellowship like this, you know, and it's just wonderful. And the convention was wonderful, and for all the people who put it on, you know, thank you very much, you know, for me, thank you. It's just like real special. You know, thank you. Jean S. J-E-A-N-E.
Hi, I'm Jean Ann Manatic. I am real grateful to be here, and I'm, God, Jackie, this has been great. I've been waiting for 6 months for this convention because I knew Jackie was the chairperson, and Jackie and I go way back. We're convention friends. Every time I see Jackie, it's always at a convention. And it's really kind of a unique relationship, I think. You know, we spent a lot of time talking to each other, but only at conventions. And I've watched her grow. And I've got to grow through the years. I need to tell you, it wasn't done as a group conscious at my table. Everybody said, Jeannie's going to talk. And the reason why, they did that is I just celebrated 10 years. You know, Jackie and I were talking last night, and like Jackie, when I got here, I was literally a broken person. I was a shell, and whatever had been inside was no longer there. And when I think back to that person who walked through these doors 10 years ago, I'm blown away. I am just blown away by the miracle. I'm the miracle, you know. I shouldn't have been dead a long time ago. And today I have in my life what I never, ever, ever dreamed I would have. You know, I have 4 children. Two of them were born before I got here. And by all rights, they should have been taken away from me. Today, my oldest is 14 and is a pretty good kid. Pretty good kid. And when I got here, when he was 4, that kid was headed down the wrong path. And today he's a straight-A student. And I couldn't have done that without God. And I couldn't have done that without the people in this room. And little does he know that his life was changed drastically when I walked in these doors 10 years ago. I don't have to look very far for my gratitude, you know. I can see it every day in my life when I look at my kids. 2 of them were born afterwards. And the last one was born with a serious disability. I can't tell you what that year that he spent in the hospital was like for me. And I couldn't have done that one without this program and without the people in this program hanging on to me, you know. So every day when I look at him, you know, I've got gratitude that I'm here and that you're here and that we're doing this together. You know, I've never been anywhere like the first gentleman who was up here spoke, where the unity, the love, the warmth, the courage, the strength is all shared. None of us have to do this alone, ever. Nothing in this program, you know. And I don't know any other place where that exists. This is really great. I've been to a lot of conventions like this, about this size. I like them. They're intimate. They're warm. I always go away with a warm fuzzy. I like what I do today. I like who I am. I like the gifts that God gives me. And one thing, my second sponsor told me, my first one died. My first one was 72 years old when I came into this room, this program. And she was appointed my sponsor. I wasn't asked. And it had to be that way for me because, like I said, I was a shell. There was nothing there. But God bless her. She did what she needed to do with me. And then I got another sponsor. And the one I have now told me something that I hang on to all the time. And that is, no matter how bad it gets in your life, no matter how much pain comes up for you, no matter how much joy is going on in your life, the one thing we all got to remember is not to give up before the miracle happens, because it will happen. And if you give up, you'll never know it. Thanks. Canada, Larry H.
Hi, my name's Larry and I'm an addict. Talk about God working in mysterious ways here. My wife said we had to leave at 11 o'clock, and I said if I don't get up here, I don't get to speak, so I'm here. Because I'm leaving just right after I speak. Yeah, I got a speaking red. You know, this convention here is, boy, it's been something else for me. I come into Fresno by mistake. I did. We were heading down for San Diego, and I come through Yosemite Park, and it was a hell of a drive, and like, bumper to bumper all the way through that park. It was just gorgeous, eh? It's God working in mysterious ways for me. We come in here, we stayed in a hotel, we flown someplace, and we wanted to go out for supper. And I went to supper, and sitting right across from us is people wearing NA t-shirts. It just happened to be the committee. You know, your planning committee for this convention. And, you know, all the restaurants that was in there, that was the restaurant was there. You know, these people are there. John walked by and I said, gee, there's an addict. it's just stuff that this program is given to me. This holiday is God-given. I don't think we've ever had a holiday in our whole life that everything had just fallen into place, you know. When I went on the holidays, I said to God, it's in your hands, and if we make it down here, it's the way it is. And we've made it all the way to San Diego, back up here, and I'm just having a hell of a good time. And I want to thank you guys, too, because that play that you guys put on yesterday was just right on, you know. It hit me. It's the closest I've been to tears in my whole life of that first scene that you guys put on there, too. You know, that's really a program. You know, we talk about spirituality. That's spirituality. You know, that's changing attitude, and that's what happened to me. I want to thank you guys all. Barbara H. is the next one. We'll put her back. Judy V. I ain't getting out of here at 11 o'clock for crying out loud. Judy V. here. What is it? There you go, dear. Here, I'll give you a hug.
Oh, God. Good morning, I'm Judy V. And I'm an addict. Had I known I was in there, I would not be in here. I'd be gone. I'd be chasing that little boy with the red t-shirt. Oh, Lord. Well, this convention's been just great for me. As you heard already, I have a sister over here that's coming up on 9 years. And she introduced this program to me in 1984. And it took me from 1984 until about 1986 to decide that this is where I needed to be. And after I knew that I needed to be here, we decided that our sister needed to be here. So, you know, the very first thing that I got to do was get together with Flossie, and we did a 12-step. And I can remember going across, and we're going on this 12-step with this sister, and we took her to Salinas, and she went in, and we told her, don't tell them anything, and she went in and told them everything. She didn't want to stay. So on the way home, we're coming across, and we're talking, Flossie and I, you know, and when we left, we had put things in God's hand, and on the way back, we were taking it back, because she wasn't acting the way I wanted her to act, and you know, and when we got back, we stopped by CAP, and we had really taken it all back. We were trying to get her to get this program, and what we got to do right then and there was just stop and practice that first step right then and there, powerless over people, places, and things. So we held hands, and we prayed, and we let him take it right out of our hands, and by the grace of God, she's got 2 years, and so do I. Thank you. Jim L. from San Fernando.
Thank you, Fresno. My name is Jim, and I'm an addict. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, guys, in the play. Made me think about the complacency for a minute there, man. Wow, I can't believe I'm standing here. There's going to be some spirituality here in a minute. I don't know how I get to be here. You know, I'm so lucky. I think all of us are just so lucky to have an opportunity to be present and accounted for and to be alive and to be sharing. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle. You know, I came into this program not because I wanted to. I just came in. I was, you know, one of your typical people running from a case, trying to beat a case, and thought if I jumped off into a recovery house, they would give me a break, and they did. And there was a guy named Judge William B. King, who now has a TV show, you know, who sentenced me to a drug diversion program, you know, after I was in this recovery house. And you know, like I had no idea that when he sentenced me to finish that drug recovery house, that he was sentencing me to freedom, you know. And and I didn't know that my life was just starting to begin, you know. And I made a decision to stay clean while I was in that recovery house because I heard a gentleman share. And even though there were people in that recovery house that told me that they had some time clean, you know, I didn't believe them, you know, until I got to this meeting and I heard this man share from a podium, and I knew he was an addict by the way he talked, you know. And I could relate to his desperation, and he talked about the tragedy of his past, and he talked about what broke him down, what made him want to get clean, you know, and he talked about this thing called recovery. And when he was done talking, I wanted some of what he had, you know. And that was 8.5 years ago, and I haven't found it necessary to use in that time. And And I had an opportunity to take these blinders off, you know, and I had these blinders off that were blinding me from everything in the world. The only thing I could see was TVs and purses and the Connections House. And the thing was, when I took those blinders off, I could see the whole world. You know, there's a whole world out there that I never had an opportunity to be involved in. And, man, life is so beautiful today. And nothing ever happened to me as good as a thing called Marga, if I'm not mistaken.
Barbara H.
Good morning. I am Barbara, and I am an addict. And I have to tell you guys, some honesty this morning. I've been trying for a long time to keep a low profile, and this ain't it. I want to tell you that I have really enjoyed the time I've been here at Fresno, and you guys have a hell of a strong fellowship. It's a real pleasure. I also have been very touched this morning by something else. It used to be you go to meetings and you didn't see many women. And we're seeing some long-term recovery in women, but you just saw some gentlemen that are getting time too. I mean, I want you guys here, but I also want some ladies. I know you want that too. And you know, definitely by the grace of a loving higher power in those 12 steps, I'm here, and I'm one of those people that almost didn't make it. And I guess what it is I've just been, this last month, it's been countdown, because in about 3 weeks I'm going to become a teenager. I'll be 13. And I want to tell you folks, I've already warned my home group, which is Northern Counties in Southern California, because I missed my first one and I sure intend to take advantage of this one. You know, recovery. I take my program really serious. Recovery is a serious issue. It means I have nothing in my life or in me or anyone in my life if I don't have my lifeline. And this is it. This is it. When I think of how close I came not to making it, I would like to encourage those of you who are new today that think it's the impossible dream. It took me a year on the streets going to meetings to get 30 days together. And I shared in a meeting earlier that was year was beautiful for me because it really was my year of research and lack of development. And the thing I want to tell you is that, and I say, and I've said this over and over, and I really mean it from my bottom of my heart. If you're a hard head like me, and you got to do every fucking thing your own way, this is the place for you. And the other side of that coin, if you be a hard head and you do stay a while, and you get headed in that other direction, nothing will stop you from going forward. I want you to know this has been my cram course in living. I am not the same woman that got here. I walk around in the same body, but I am truly different. And you know, I got my heart's desire, just one of many. I got to become a lady. Thanks to you. I love you guys.
Thanks.
By the way, stick around as long as me, and you can earn your absent-mindedness, too. All right. We have Clean Jean.
I'm Gene and I'm an addict. And I didn't want to come up here. You know, I've got 16 days clean today. You know, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. When I came around about 15 months ago, I didn't want to be here. I was court-ordered. I was carrying a gun ready to blow my brains out, but I was too chicken to do it. But you know what? They told me to keep coming back, and that was really strange for me. You know, and I learned to love myself around here. You know, I got involved in service. I was GSR 2 meeting, secretary of a meeting. And you know what, that's primarily what my program consisted of. I worked my first and second step, and then I got complacent. And the 15th of last month, I let two codeines take 14 months clean time. But and the reason I took them was because I thought I would last longer in bed with my girlfriend. And, I'm a sick puppy. But you know what? I kept going to meetings, sitting in the meetings, wondering why am I here, you know. It took me, you know, to be honest with you people, I had to be honest with myself. And I didn't want to give up my positions, but you know, that's something I have to do. And I got to work on myself today, you know, and not everybody else. You know, I'm really glad to be here. And you know what, the butterflies are starting to leave. And, you know, this program is my life, and I intend to stick around. Thank you all. Teresa W.
morning again. My name is Teresa W., and I'm an addict. Wow. I like this in the spirit of unity stuff. This convention has really helped me work a program, keep me working a program. I value my program a whole lot these past 6 months, and I've learned a lot. I think I've learned to like really see the value and appreciate letting go and letting God have all control. I'm embarrassed to say this because I just am. Inventory taking, you know, when I first got here, I heard a lot of people talk about inventories, and like what I was taught was that we weren't supposed to do that. And then I heard like people be honest and share that that's what we do here. But you learn from it. It's like I think it's one of those paradoxes that you're not supposed to, but if you do it, you know you get something from it anyway. And when you point the finger, you get three back at you. And I think that I just from doing all that, listening from all of you and kind of like feeling what works for me, you know, I just thought it best that, well, I'll just try to focus on myself and to the best of my ability, right? And then when that didn't work, then we'll have God help me do that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've taken a lot of inventory these past 6 months, and it was in the spirit of unity. I think I've learned like what works, and I've learned a lot about myself is what I've learned, and what works for me, I'm really getting more and more comfortable with me, Teresa W., to even share that with you, you know, that, yeah, I do too. I get to take those inventories and look at them and what works for me and what works for you. And then, you know what? I get to just, like, learn how to love you and accept you and learn to love me and accept me and let go of control and learn that, like, self-will run riot kind of stuff. You know, watching you do it, watching me do it, and that everything works out the way it's supposed to work out anyway. You are my teachers, and I love you for that. I've loved listening. You called her Red. I forget her name, but the lady that was up here and sharing and everybody here, I feel it so moving. I was at a wedding yesterday, had a big family reunion, big for us, and haven't seen a lot of people in a long time, and it's a lot like coming to a convention, people we haven't seen in a long time, haven't seen a lot of people from the different areas and cities around and people that have been clean and move away and come back. So we get to see a lot of people here and my reunion was like that too. And I'll tell you that I love my family. I really, and I've learned to love them, you know, in a totally different way too, you know, accept them and love them and learn how to have a sense of humor around my family. I have to tell you what happened. My dad, he was so drunk yesterday that he got everybody for a family picture, and then he started like going on his speech about how drunk he was, and so some of us in the back got behind him and did the red wave, you know, and just to take the focus off of him and put it on us so that the rest of the family didn't have to hear his speech about how drunk he was. I guess he had to be there. We enjoyed it, but you know, I guess I didn't have to have a resentment is what I'm trying to say, you know, and I like that part the best. And I think what I'm really getting to is that I feel
very comfortable here with you as my family. I love my family, but I got real stressed out, too, with their energies and stuff. But my energy is here is so different. When we say, like, the Lord's Prayer together at the end of a meeting, you know, and there's, like, this one voice and this one, the energy that is just, like, in this room when we do that every time after a meeting is, like, so powerful to me. And I love that. I love that, and I thrive off of that kind of stuff. And the energy that I had around my family yesterday was good. It was good. But it wasn't like this. And I love this, and I'll keep coming back. Thanks. Lisa G. Lisa G.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an addict. Flossie said I can't say the F word. This is pretty obscene, too. Jackie, thanks for sharing. And every time you share, it's like you've been a part of my recovery, and it's ongoing. When I first got here, I was blocked. You know, I came to this convention, and I was blocked with self. And I want to thank you guys for reminding me, like, I'm an addict. Because I forget, you know, I'm in denial. It's like I didn't get over denial after my 30 days. I mean, I'm in denial a lot. And this convention has been like a reprieve for me to be able to remember who I am and the God that's been with me all my life is here now. I want to cry. When I got here, I was a floater, and I didn't plan on staying in Narcotics Anonymous. I was just going to stay because things were going kind of bad, and I needed a place to stay. And I just got out of this drug treatment program, and I was having a little hard time using. You know, it felt like shit to use, and I was just going to wait till that passed. That was 5 years ago. I got clean down south, and I'm from Simi Valley. And I had to go because the man that I came to this program, the reason why I stuck around too was I met this guy. And I had to go because I couldn't, like, sleep in garages with them anymore and eat your guys' food and sleep with this guy because he could afford rice and I couldn't. And he couldn't, like, decide, you know, whether to come or go. And, like, during that time, I was just living, like, by what I knew all my life. You know, I just didn't know. I didn't have any self-esteem. And during that time, I'd been going to meetings, you know, because they said keep coming back. So I kept coming back because there was an honesty in these rooms from these people. And they knew the pain that I knew. So, like, even though I spent a lot of time with my old man, like, I went to the meetings because there was something there for me. And when things started going real bad, like my mother lived here in Fresno, and someone said earlier about how, like, they had to learn how to feed them. I think it was Jackie, about how she didn't know how to feed herself, you know, take care of herself on a daily basis, and be able to brush her teeth, you know, and do that kind of stuff. I didn't know how to do that. And when I got about 11 months clean, and I'd been living in garages with this guy, I knew that I had to take care of myself or I wasn't going to be able to stay. So I moved to Fresno, and I was really scared. And I got on the Greyhound bus, and there was this relative that I'd met, like, once before, and she didn't even know me. I didn't know her, and I guess my mom had talked to her, and she picked me up and gave me money for a bus ticket to Fresno. And I was sitting at this bus station with, like, this suitcase that I borrowed from somebody full of clothes and a pack of cigarettes. I didn't have no light, and there was a bum next to me, so I had to get a light from the bum. And I didn't know where the fuck I was going. I'd never been to Fresno, and but I knew I was clean. And I came to Fresno, and I've learned to have a spiritual experience in Fresno because the people here gave me the love and support of how to love myself and how to fucking share with, oh, I said that word. Oh, man. I was able to share with other people and, like what someone said, that they were empty shell, and I was able to fill my shell. And it's a daily reprieve for me because I forget. You know, I have a disease, and I keep forgetting that there's a God and that there's other people. I keep trying to do it on my own, everything. And during this convention, man, it's like I've been holding on. It's like, no, I'm not going to cry. No, I'm not going to let go. And by the second day yesterday, it was all over, man. It was like, okay, I want to do it by myself, And it's like, man, I can't force the relationship. It's like I got clean and the drugs kind of, I detoxed and I went through some stuff. And then it was like, well, now I want a relationship, and I want a job and I want a house and I want a car. And it's like I've gotten all these things, But I've been, self-pulling those things, and they don't feel too good, To tell you the truth, my life doesn't feel too good, I have a real hard time, talking with my boyfriend and being able to keep an open communication with you guys. And it's, through this convention that I'm able to let go of all the ideas that I have about, what I'm supposed to be like. And I let go of the fucking car and the house and the boyfriend. For the love and the God, because that's the only reason why I'm here today. And it's because God got me here, and as long as I trust in God's will, great things will come to pass for me and countless others. And I believe that. And I thank this convention for letting me realize that one more time. Thanks.
Bobby D.
My name is Bobby D. I'm a recovering addict. A fellowship or society of men and women. I'm going to push this right down your lap. I never had that. I never had any fellowship. I never had any society. All my life. And I have that today. And I'm part of this thing today. I'm part of something. I'm part of life. One time we went out to the fights out there at Sharky's in Nevada. Me and my sponsor, and as we came back over the Sierras there, we stopped and we looked up at the stars. And he said to me, look up there, man. You're part of that. And I had, and like Jackie was saying, see, I'd had this inkling notion that maybe that was true. It was something I had in my mind. And for a moment that night, it was in my heart, and I knew it was true. And that's what this program's given me. And today, this is, the love and the people. That's spirituality to me, when I can leave you smiling. The fellows up here got 16 days. First time I gave up, I came here in 84, and I came back in 86 after I'd go in and out, And I wouldn't give up my money. I gave up my money finally, and I went to a meeting in Oakland. I live in Moccasin now, but I got there via Oakland. And anyway, I went to a meeting, and I gave up my money, and I raised my hand, and I shared that. And I got a standing ovation, and I looked around the room, and there were a lot of people there, and there were some tears glimmering in people's eyes. And the next Monday, I was driving my garbage truck through the projects in Oakland, And these words came to me, and I want to read this. Barbara asked me to read it, and I like to do it anyway. And it's called Welcome to N.A. I was born a lonely man of drunken love and gentle hands, and long I fought a fight for inner peace. For years I sought in vain that place where inner pain would dissipate and finally find release. And many were the foes that fell beneath my blows, but when I won, it never seemed enough. For in fighting to the end, I spurned the need of friends in my lonely, desperate battle to find love. As I rode my final journey to that place of no returning, I came upon a boisterous but peaceful camp. It was a place of gentle fires, an island in the mire, and I stopped a while to ease my saddle cramp. And in their varied faces, I saw the lines and traces of battles always ending in defeat. But there were also smiles of wonder and voices filled with thunder as they turned and opened up their hearts to me. But still I held my ground, never to step down, the king of something I could never share. For too long I'd fought the battle, and I found comfort in the saddle, and resting seemed too great a pain to bear. And so I traveled onward, and the enemy got stronger, till I saw the battle finally must end. That with all the swords and knives in my hopeless, shattered life, what was needed was the caring of a friend. And so I did surrender, no more a mere pretender, but a man who'd fought and lost, and yet had won. For in my pain's reflection, I found a new direction towards the center of God's kingdom in the sun. By the grace of God, as he expressed himself here in Narcotics Anonymous, I have 2.5 years clean tomorrow. Yeah. Thank you. Jeff S.
Sorry, Flossie, I mean intercourse. My name's Jeff and I'm an addict. Gosh. It's been a great convention, let me tell you. I had a great time. I'm addicted. This is my first convention of Narcotics Anonymous that I've ever been to. I happen to be from here in Fresno, you know, so I guess I had no excuse, you know. I always wanted to go to a convention, but, you know, I was always broke, you know, and could never figure out a way to go, you know. And this has been a real wonderful experience, you know, it really has. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of sharing. Just a lot of neat shit, man, you know. You know, the dances, I've been going to check out those marathon meetings, you know. You know, if you ever want to check out some heavy-duty shit, go to a damn marathon meeting, man. You know, it's like, you know, we got our groups and our meetings and our areas and our regions, and we know everybody, but we get together at these conventions, and we meet other people, and we hear their sharing, and we find out we're all alike, and they're dealing with the same issues there as that we're dealing with here, you know. It's really neat, you know. I was touched by what some people shared, you know. One guy struck me, his name was Jose, he talked about his powerlessness, you know, and this other guy named Mike T from Sacramento talked about in a meeting about shame based upon, you know, the way he validated himself and his characteristics, you know, and I found that in common, you know. This gal talked about last night at one of these marathon meetings about where on Father's Day she had a year clean, but her dad never got to see that, you know, and I was touched by that. And I was also grateful because on Father's Day I celebrated 1 year clean with my father. And he's in recovery as well, you know. And that was really neat, you know. I finally got that 1 year. I've been around here for 4.5 years, and I was one of these kinds of people that was always in and out, never quite making it. Couldn't seem to understand, couldn't seem to get it. What the hell is this all about, you know? You know, it's like, you know, I'd get some time, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, whatever, you know. And I'd go back out and use again, you know. You know, I mean, I was always on that retread action, you know, and I couldn't seem to get it. Like, I'm fucking nervous as hell right now. This is easy. Maybe it's all that coffee I've been drinking. I think I almost OD'd on coffee yesterday, you know. Keep going, man. I haven't had hardly any sleep at all. I was up here at 3 in the morning on Saturday morning. I had to get up early. In fact, I wanted to see that play yesterday, and I missed it, you know. You know, I had to be of service. See, I have a sponsor, and he's moving into a house, and guess what? I had to help him move yesterday, you know. Guess what? I have a sponsee. What goes around comes around someday. So, gosh. So I got back here and checked it out and oh man. And I was at the speaker meeting last night, and then I got to sit at the table up there and I got to be on the committee. I was just a small part of the committee, but I was a part of, and it really felt really neat. The problem with wearing this little red thing is people were always coming up and asking me, what about this, what about that? And I go, I don't fucking know. go ask someone else, Shit, so anyway, I was at the speaker meeting last night, and I was looking, for some kind of quality experience, or some spiritual experience or whatever, and they had the sobriety countdown, and then they did the serenity prayer, and when they said God, the whole room said God, I got like this tingle in the back of my head, it could have been the coffee though, you never know, It felt kind of like, when I used to do crank and smoke dope and you get that rush in the back of your head. It kind of felt like that, I don't know what the hell it was, but it sure felt good, put it that way, So I listened to Don share last night, even though we're different people, we're all the same, We really, truly are, I really identified with that guy. I really did. Even though it's from half a country away, we're all the same here, It's all about recovery, And I was going to the meetings last night, and the marathon meetings, and shit, I got like 2 hours of sleep. I think I got bags underneath my eyes, and shit, when I get home tonight, man, I'm going to crash, let me tell you. It's been nuts, The convention was great, The theme of the convention was in the spirit of unity, And that's what I feel is this unity, man. It just feels great, And what's the convention all about, We got like these, hey, it says on the program here, speaker meetings, dances, banquets. Fellowship, yeah, we had a lot of fellowship, had a hell of a lot of fun, but last but not least it says recovery, That's what this is all about, it's about recovery, And I'm a recovering drug addict, Like what Don said last night, borrowing a phrase from him, dirty low-down dope fiend, is that what he said? Something like that, And I'm that, but I don't have to be that anymore today, That's what this program is all about, and that's what this program has given me, It really has, it feels good finally have gotten a year. It took me 4.5 years, like I said, and one day at a time, what people have told me around these tables, this is nothing original. If I continue to do what I'm doing, take the action, work the steps, be of service, I don't ever have to use ever in my life again, one day at a time, and that's what it's all about, that's really what it's all about, I've had a great convention, man. I'm just like on this spiritual high, man. It's great. I love it, Oh, anyway, I'm done. I'm out of here. But let me tell you something. It's been real, it's been fun, and it's been real fun. Yeah. All right. Now we got another name here coming up here, and who's the lucky winner? Paul F. of Lodi.
Hi, my name is Paul S. and I'm a recovering addict from Lodi / New York. I don't know where the fuck I'm from. That's not true. And I'm sorry for cursing. I guess my ego is in the way. I am from New York, and it's like when I went back there for Christmas and I went to meetings, I was like, well, my name's Paul and I'm an addict from Lodi, and that wasn't true either. I'm from New York, and that's important for me to realize, because that's where I'm from, and it's like, to be honest, what I feel is that I spent my life back east, and I spent it in a dream. I was in a dream, and I came out here 2 years ago, and I celebrated a year last week. That is kind of good, isn't it? Yeah, that is something special for me because it's real, and I like reality. I used to seek reality in marijuana. You know, I used to think that was real. I used to look at the maple leaves and shit, you know, and they were really clear. But it's kind of like I look at where I've been, and I'm grateful. I moved to Sacramento, and I found myself just moving from one city to another. And now I live in Lodi, and I'm real happy in Lodi. It's a small town. It's like Mayberry RSD. I love it. You know, I expect to see Andy Griffith walking down the street. It's great, man. You know, I don't know. It's really nice. I never had a burrito till I moved out here. And I'm grateful for that. There's a lot of things to be grateful for today, you know. You know, it's like I was sitting in my shit this morning, you know. And I don't know why. It's kind of like somebody asked me, you know, why do we mind screw ourselves, you know? And it's kind of like why does a magnet attract? I don't know. And it's okay not to know. That's what I've learned from this beautiful program, and put a plural on that, you know. And it's okay for me not to know today, you know. I'd like to thank Dana for getting me out of my shit stuff. I don't know. I'm just real happy to be here, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, when I was here last night, and they said they were doing the countdowns and the people from out of state and stuff, and I'm kind of justifying myself, but it's like the state New York was called, and I screamed out, and I need to make amends to the lady I was standing behind of, you know. And I don't know what happened. A lot of anger came out then, or I don't know. It was kind of grateful anger, I guess. You know, it was. I'm proud. I'm proud to say that. I'm grateful to say that I'm out of that place. And you know, I don't know. I'll probably wind up going back. but that's okay. You know, I just like to say that you know, it's given me my life back, and I don't have to act on certain things today, you know. Thank you very much. Scott A. Scott A.
My name is Scott, and I'm a drug addict. I'm nervous. I'm never nervous, and I'm nervous. I'm shaking, you know. It's what I know is that if it wasn't for God first, these 12 steps, you people, I wouldn't be here today. You people loved me when I couldn't love you back. You people brought me out of pain when I was in pain. You know, it's a miracle that that I thought I could try to become a person that I want to become and peel off some of the crust that I've gathered over the years. And I know that working the steps works. Working a thorough inventory helps. That's been my ticket to freedom, is being totally honest with myself about my character defects. That way I don't have to treat you people the way I've been treating you, and treating others the way I've been treating them. Thank you.
All good things come to an end. Yeah, this has been a real gas. I think I'd like to clarify just a little bit about the cussing thing there. The longer we stay in recovery, just hopefully we'll learn some new words. You know, no, but sometimes the only one that'll work is the one that works. You know, fuck. I've been asked to, and I hadn't thought it, so thank you for asking. I'd like to thank this area for putting on this convention.
Would you like to explain a little bit how the next one's going to happen?
We're going to give you just a little brief thing on how the next one's going to happen in our...
We're going to try. This is total conjecture. My name is Jackie. I'm an addict. It's my understanding that as of the moment, our region is relatively new, like about 2 years old. Year old? What's the official... give me an official thing here. 1 year. 1 year as a region. This is our first regional convention. The way this happened, I think, was that we wanted it. And I'm going to put, watch this, I'm going to get in big trouble now. There's this theory going around Narcotics Anonymous about us and them. In Narcotics Anonymous. There's no such thing as us and them in Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. Yeah. Hence, in the spirit of unity, the service structure of Narcotics Anonymous evolved so that the member at the group level was the ultimate authority expressing group conscience, hence God. And all of these other service structures evolved in order to facilitate the desires and the needs of that group conscience, as expressed through their representatives to the area service committees. Hence, it's the group's responsibility to have responsible representation at the area service committee. Area service committees, in turn, come together for the purpose of communication and the dispersing of information at a regional level. Hence, the region is the place where people go to communicate. Hence, they go to the world, okay, where they communicate more. The World Service Office and the World Service Conference is not the ultimate authority in Narcotics Anonymous on anything except the gathering of information from the group. It is not the job of service people to itemize in detail the iotas of all the details of how those who came before a priori are going to describe to those who come later exactly how it's going to be when they get here. There are 12 steps, and there are 12 traditions. They've been working real good for a real long time for millions of people. This is a brief lesson in service, I guess. Anyway, I guess what I'm really trying to say is that there is no us and them in Narcotics Anonymous. Okay, if you want responsible representation, then you might have to be that responsible representation. And what I'm saying is that when you vote for somebody, you have to think about who you're having to go do your stuff. Okay? And I'm trying to bring this back home. Anyway, when you do service, you're not doing anything for anybody else except yourself, really. You know, it's like you're creating a space for you to recover. You're creating a space for you to express yourself and to extend yourself beyond your own beliefs about yourself. And if you're lucky, maybe you're going to create the space for somebody else to participate and enjoy that too. You know what I'm saying? And so in other words, we don't have a policy about regional conventions in our region yet. I think the only thing we've established is that we're going to go every other year. And so that gives... No, we're not going to go every other year. We don't even know what we're going to do, okay? We don't know what we're going to do. But if you've enjoyed this one, chances are you might get to have another one in this region sometime in a relatively, you know, annual, biannual kind of thing. There's so much to do in Narcotics Anonymous anymore. You can't do it all. But, you know, I always want to. And I guess I'll shut up now because I'm starting to feel like Egghead or something. Bye. You want to say something, John?
Fuck it!
I'm John, I'm an addict. And none of this could have been possible without all of you. And that's all I got to say. I love all of you. Thank you.
I'd like to announce at this time that tapes of this meeting